Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Sense God's doing something up here in the northeast of in Peterhead. Is that how you say it? Peterhead. I'll tell you, my wife's Scottish, and I understand her, but sometimes when I come up here I almost need translation. You know, it's wonderful. But talking of my wife, I have one wife, praise God, one wife. Her name's Lisa. They're going to show you a picture of me and my wife if they've got it there. Let's see if they're ready for it. I may have caught them out. No. There she is. Now I know what you're all thinking. I know it. God has been good to her. Hey, God has been good to her. And you know, we're blessed with two miracle children. And I've shared some of my story before. I'm not going to talk about it so much today. But I always show my girls. They're my miracles. Yeah. Lila Hope and Lucille Faith. Just this week, my firstborn child, a little girl we had called Elle, would have been 9 years old. But unfortunately, she was a stillborn baby and graduated straight to heaven. And we were told that we may never be able to have children. But how many of you know that when you hold faith in one hand and hope in the other hand, that God can meet you in the middle? And so I show my girls wherever I go because they are a miracle. So if you've never seen a miracle, you have now. You have now. We serve a good God, a faithful God. And so I want to pray, and I want to, this morning, Pastor Neil just touched on it then, about igniting and inspiring your faith. That is what I want to do today. I want to lift your levels of expectation for what you're believing God for today. So let's pray. And then I'll get into the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do indeed thank you for all that you're doing in and through Apex Church. I thank you. I thank you that you're a good God and that you have not finished with us yet. And so, Lord, I ask today that as this word goes forth, may it be a word in season, a word of faith, a word of hope, a word of comfort. Lord, may it challenge and inspire every man, every woman, every child that is in this place and watching online. Lord, we have not come to do church. We have come to encounter you. And so, Lord, I ask that you will have your way in this place this morning. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Now, listen, I do get a bit loud, as you can hear. In fact, I told the men yesterday, I was speaking at quite a large Church of England church last year, and I was going for it. And after the service, this lovely 90-year-old lady came up to me, and she said, "Luke, as you were preaching, I thought I had been healed, so I turned off my hearing aid." I said, "Sister, you have been healed in Jesus' name." I want to talk to you this morning on a message that I have titled, "Give It Another Go." Give it another go. Have you ever walked away from something too soon? Perhaps it was a career opportunity, a strategic relationship, a dream. Maybe you feel trapped in a certain area of your life. Your present reality does not match which was once your future expectations. And it's not necessarily down to what you did do or didn't do. You put in the maximum effort. You had the right conversations. You worked hard. Yet the outcome wasn't what you hoped for. The doors didn't answer in the way you thought they were going to open. So you laid it down. You put those expectations to bed. You walked away and you moved on. If there is anyone in here that has ever felt like that, I am glad that you're in church this morning. Turn with me, if you could, to Luke chapter 5, verse 9. And I'm going to read to you from the New King James Bible. We're going old school this morning. Who likes the New King James? Oh, yeah. You know, I knew you were a holy bunch up here in Peterhead. But you can follow along on the big Scottish Bible behind me. And I'm going to read starting in verse 1 of Luke chapter 5. And it says this. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, they're talking about Jesus here, that he stood by the lake of Genesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. If you've got your Bibles, underline that verse. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught such a great number of fish that their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. In Luke 5, Simon and his friends are exhausted from a long night of fishing. They had worked hard. They had gone through their usual routines to give them the best chance of catching some fish. Yet they caught nothing. Experienced, knowledgeable, professional fishermen with zero to show for all their efforts. They were so done with that night that they were now back on the shore cleaning their nets. There were no more plans. There were no more expectations to go back out on the water and go fishing again. And yet moments later, the Bible says that Simon and his friends are now reeling in. They're bringing in a catch of fish so large that everyone there was astonished. Now, I don't know about you, but seeing a disappointing, frustrating, hopeless situation turn into a joy-filled, life-changing, miraculous moment is something that I too want to experience in my life. So what can we learn? What can we learn from this passage of text? What did Simon do? What was it that saw his situation transform? I want to give you three keys this morning that are going to raise your expectations to giving that thing. And I don't know what that thing is in your life, but I want to believe that after today, you're going to lift those expectations to give it another go. The first is this. Number one, giving it another go means trusting in God's timing. We need to trust in God's timing. At the start of every year, my wife Lisa and I, we pray and we believe God for a specific word or scripture that we can hold on to for the next 12 months. Amazingly, at the start of 2022, we both felt drawn to the exact same passage of text in the Bible, and in particular, one of the verses in this passage, Luke 5, verse 4, which said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, for years, Lisa and I had been living in the very south of England due to Lisa's job. She is a doctor with a very specific role. But our dream for many years had been to relocate back to my home city of Norwich. I wanted to be near my family. We have two young girls. My wife works long hours. I am often away on the road with the ministry, and we needed some extra support. We needed the grandparents. How many of you in here are grateful for your grandparents? And I want to thank the grandparents. I thank you for what you do for the children. However, every time Lisa tried to explore job opportunities in and around Norwich, the doors wouldn't open. We prayed about it constantly for 5 years. 5 years of trying, believing, exploring. It looked like nothing would ever open up. And so we laid our expectations down. And then we got this word. Launch out into the deep. Give it another go. Do you know the last thing you want to hear when you've been believing for something for a long time and you've explored all the options is to hear the word, give it another go. Do you know, we felt just like those fishermen. And I know there's a lot of fishermen in here today, so you can relate to the text. But we knew the landscape of Lisa's work. We had tried everything. An opening in her field was virtually impossible. Only a miracle could see this take place. Yet this was the word for 2022. Now, to cut a long story short, later that year, Lisa got a job 1 hour drive from Norwich. We sold our house within 3 weeks, despite people saying, Luke, this is a terrible time to sell your house. Shouldn't you have done it earlier? I was like, well, thank you very much. I've been praying for the last 5 years, but thank you for your input in my life. However, we moved, and on the 20th of December, 2022, we relocated back to Norwich. It took a year. It took 12 months. There were periods of silence, unforeseen obstacles. There were days of doubt. And there are still some challenges that we face today. But knowing we were on God's timing and not our timing gave us the reassurance that we will make it to where God wants us to be. Now, I don't tell this story to brag, but to encourage you this, that sometimes it is not what you are believing for is wrong. It is more to do with whether the timing is right. I'll say that again. It's not that what you are or were believing for is wrong. It's whether to do with the timing being right. Do you know the fishermen had done everything right that night? They were in the right place doing the right thing. But it was only after an encounter with Jesus, it was only after they acknowledged him as master and got on board with his plan for that time that everything changed. Do you know, trusting in God's timing is difficult. It's difficult. When we say a prayer, we want an immediate answer. When we throw out our nets, God do this, God do that. God, please come through for me. We want to reel in. We want to bring in that harvest straight away. But when that doesn't happen, it's so easy to be disappointed, discouraged, and defeated. But you know, it's normal to feel that way when we so desperately desire whatever that thing is. However, it's during those times of frustration and desperation that we need to open up the Word of God that is living, the Word of God that is active, the Word of God that can transform our situations. And we need to remind ourselves of what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that God listens to every one of our prayers. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. In Romans 8, 28, the Bible says that God works all things together for our good. All things. 1 John 3, 1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. Isaiah 55 verse 9, God said, not Luke Brendling, God said that my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. In other words, when things don't go to your plan or come to pass on your timetable, you need to trust me, God says. You need to trust me a little bit more. I see beyond what you can currently see. I'm working things out right now behind the scenes. Now, I say this, trusting God's timing. This is what it means to me. It means being comfortable It means being comfortable that even though you don't know how everything is going to work out, you have a peace within that God does. Trusting God's timing means being comfortable that even though you don't know how everything's going to work out, you have a peace within that God does. Do you know, sometimes God doesn't answer that prayer straight away or give you what you desire overnight because he's protecting you. He's protecting you, or he is preparing you for something bigger. That is what a good father does. Let me put it to you this way. Would you buy your child a car for their 14th birthday because they really, really want one? I mean, they come to you all the time. Mom, Dad, I want a car. I want a car. I know I'm 14, but I want a car. I mean, how many of you would do that? A wise father, a loving mother, they would wait. They would wait until they're old enough, until they've passed their driving test, until they're ready to cruise through the streets of Peterhead on a Friday night before giving them such a gift, despite the child constantly knocking and asking on their parents' door. I know some of the 14-year-olds are going, yeah, that's what I want. Dad, did you hear that? I want a car for my 14th birthday. He waits. The father waits until the timing is right. For Lisa and I, we were praying for that relocation for 5 years, but obviously we were not ready for all that was to come. God still had to shape us. He had to mold us. He had to prepare us so that when we finally stepped into that dream, when we finally stepped into that desire, we were ready to handle all that God had for us next. And I feel that's the same for some of you today. Timing. Timing is everything. Now, for some of you in here, you may have to wait a little bit longer for that answer, but that's okay. That's okay. Take heart, be still, wait well. A delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. God knows when to show up at just the right time. You will not miss out. And I feel that's a word for someone today. You will not miss out. Now, for others in here, the wait is over. The wait is over. This is your time. This is your season to launch out into the deep. You were not ready for it before, but now you are. And you need to start lifting your levels of expectation again and go and give that thing another go. Now, I know it may not make sense in the natural. I know that you may have exhausted, like Lisa and I, all the options. You may have walked that path before, but there is a difference between your timing and God's timing. And we need to get in tune and in time with God. You see, I know this, that if the fishermen had gone out again, yes, eventually they would have caught something. However, there is a difference between man's success and God's success, and it is called timing. And for some of you, now is your time to run again. Now is your time to dream again. Now is your time to ask that question again. Now is your time to initiate that business again. Now is your time. Now is your time. Now is your time to go and knock on that door which has been locked shut for all those years, because I sense in my spirit today that that door which has remained firmly shut shall open, because it is in God's timing and not yours. Oh, come on, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, give it another go. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, give it another go. Some of you husbands are in trouble over your Sunday roast dinner. You turn the wrong way first. The second key to giving it another go is this. Number two is that it requires obedience. Giving it another go requires obedience. Listen to what Luke 5:5 said. But Simon answered and said to Jesus, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Simon did obey, but not straight away. There was some pushback in his response. You see, at that time, at that point in time, he didn't know Jesus too well. He may have known of him. He may have heard him speak. But he wasn't yet one of Jesus' disciples. He was still Simon the fisherman. And he was a professional fisherman at that, which makes this part of the story even more fascinating. His days and nights had been spent out on the open waters. This man knew how to catch fish. He didn't need to listen to the suggestions of anyone else, especially those of a carpenter. You know, I was at dinner last night with a few of the guys, and John and Andrew West, and he was telling me about what he does. He's a fisherman, and he was telling me something about a cod line and this side's net, and man, I didn't understand a word he was saying. But that would be like me telling him, you know, hey, go out there and do this. Go out there. I know, you know, this is what's going on here. But yet Simon, there's some hesitation, but yet he still chooses to obey Jesus. I find that quite incredible. You see, following God's commands aren't always easy. They can stretch you, challenge you, convict you, frustrate you, change you. Sometimes God asks you to do things that make such little sense that you question it was God at all. I remember being in church one Sunday night back in 2006 in Sydney, Australia. I was a Bible college student over there, and I had a little routine that before every evening service, I would go down to the local cash machine and I would withdraw around $70. That was about £40 back then, because straight after the evening service, I would go to the local supermarket when it was nice and quiet. I liked it when it was quiet. And I would do my weekly shop, okay? So I would do that every week. So this night, I've gone down, I've got my money, and I'm standing in the praise and worship, similar to what we were just doing before I got up, when I thought I heard God speak to me. I thought I heard God say, Luke, I want you to empty the contents of your wallet to that elderly couple sitting about six rows away from me. Now, at first I said, get behind me, Satan. I'm a student. I'm on a budget. I need my protein for the week. But all through the service, I kept feeling this nudge on the inside. Give them the money. Give them the money. And so after the service, I went down to this couple. I'd never seen them before. I didn't know them, but I gave them the money. As I gave her the $70, the lady started to weep. She started to cry. And she said, we have an outstanding bill for $70 that we have been unable to pay for a long time now. And we've been asking that God would somehow meet our need. I stood there that night feeling, well, thank you, Lord. You know, I've done my work here. All is done. However, 12 months later, I saw this couple again. I hadn't seen them since. I was coming to the end of my time at Bible college. I was about 4 weeks away from finishing, and I was broke. I was out of money. And I was praying that God would provide for me. Well, this couple came up to me, and they'd been carrying an envelope with them for several weeks, hoping to see me. And they gave it to me, and they asked me to open it. And inside of that envelope was $140. It was double what I had given them 12 months earlier. And they said to me, Luke, the day you came and gave us that money was the day our financial situation transformed to the point where we can now bless you. Oh, praise God for his goodness. Luke 11:28 says this, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And obey it. In other words, obedience to God brings success. Obedience to God brings success. Do you know that God doesn't ask you to do certain things because he's out to get you? The Bible doesn't say that we are to keep his commands because God is a control freak and wants to spoil our fun. No, it says the complete opposite. In fact, someone once taught me that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for this, best instructions before leaving earth. Best instructions before leaving earth. Do you know the Bible is an instruction manual written by God, our maker, our creator, so that you can hear his heart and follow his guidance, so that we can be enabled to live out the life that God has called you to live. The instructions in it are there to help you, not hinder you. They are written so you thrive and do not dive. They are penned to reveal God's plan for humanity. Do you know God is waiting on your obedience for you to hear his voice and then act on it? That is why Jesus didn't make the fish just jump straight into Simon's boat, even though he had had such a frustrating night of fishing. Because as spectacular as that would have looked, it would have required no obedience. God could have done it. Jesus could have done it. That Jesus was not going to do everything for Simon that night in the same way that he is not going to do everything for you. You have a part to play. And it starts by you being obedient, surrendering your ways to his ways, following in his commands. When you do what he last told you to do, you will find that the fish are waiting on you. The fish are waiting on you. Oh, I wonder today what God has lined up for you on the other side of your obedience. Is this helping you this morning? That's good, because I'm just getting warmed up. Perhaps the keys can come forward as I bring you my final key. Giving it another go. Number 3, demands active faith. Giving it another go demands active faith. Do you know, obedience is not only hearing the word of God, it is acting on it. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Launch. To launch means to send out. To send out, to throw yourself into it. To launch implies a level of force. Launching something requires a degree of commitment. You see, once that net leaves your hands, that net is not going back. That net is fully committed to where it is going to land. I see it like faith, to fully step into the unknown without seeing the complete path. Actively stepping out in faith is so easy to talk about, yet so hard to do. Jesus was intentional with his language to Simon that morning. Launch, he said. Launch your nets into the deep. Don't you just tentatively drop them over the side of the boat. Ah, maybe I'll catch something. Oh, maybe I won't. Maybe this will work. Maybe it won't. No. Jesus said, launch it out. Launch it out. In other words, he said, Simon, throw it out with conviction. Believe that as that net leaves your hands, that you're going to reel in a harvest that's so big that you 100% believe what you're going after. Do you know when an aeroplane is on a runway, getting ready to take off, firstly, you better believe that the pilot has enough faith to get that big machine up into the air. And secondly, that he or she knows where that thrust lever is. Because the only way that aircraft is coming off the ground is when that pilot goes full throttle first on the runway. Do you know if that plane is to take flight, there can be no hesitation on the runway. There can be no slowing down on the runway. There can be no turning back on the runway. The pilot has to be all in. The pilot has to be fully committed. You will also notice that to launch something means you have to first let go of something. A plane cannot truly experience the wind beneath its wings and do what it was created to do while it was on the ground. It has to first let go of the land before it can enjoy the air. It cannot be caught between the two. Oh, God's got something for you. I believe it. I know it. God's got something for you. Blessings in your life. Breakthrough in your life. Answers in this season of your life, but it is going to require both a letting go and a stepping out. Some of you know that. You know what you're supposed to do, but you find yourself trapped between the two. Oh, there are days when you can let go of the net and then you see ahead, but you cannot take that step. And there are other days when you're ready to take the step. You're full of faith. You know that God is with you and that you can do it, but you cannot let go of what has gone before you. You've seen God open the door in your life, but you do not have the confidence or the courage to walk through it. Maybe it's because you do not believe in yourself. Maybe it's because you don't feel worthy enough or good enough or qualified enough to truly go after that which God is calling you to. It could be that you've caught a glimpse of your future, but there's a part of you that just wants to hold on to the past. You hold on to that old habit. You hold on to that little bit of pain. Oh, you say you're living in freedom, but deep down, you're still holding on to that small slice of unforgiveness. Letting go of the familiar to experience the unknown is always daunting. You see, friend, when we know our surroundings, when we know our routines, it is so tempting to want to stay there like a baby bird that is nestled inside of its mother's nest. It is hard to leave that place of comfort even when we don't like it. Even when we don't feel like we fit anymore. We allow the thought of change to overwhelm us. That's why so many people just settle where they are at. You know, being terrified of the unknown, it paralyzes you. It stops you from entering into the abundance, the blessing, and the adventure that God has in store for you. Oh, if a baby bird never lets go of the side of that nest, it will never know. It will never know that it has wings that can stretch forth. It will never know that it can go way beyond what it can see from the nest. Yeah, you can give God a hand if you believe him. You see, like a baby bird wasn't designed to stay in its mother's nest or a plane made to sit on a runway, you were not created to live in shallow waters. There is more for you. From the youngest to the oldest. I said it to the men yesterday. I baptized my grandma at 80 years old. She would go on to live one more year in her life. But I would say that was one of the best years of her life. So don't tell me you're too old. There is more for you. But it's out in the deep. It's out in the deep. That's where the treasure lies. It's out in the unknown. Yes, it's scary. Yes, you're going to have to be courageous. But let me tell you this, it's in that place where you come to know the sustaining power, the divine blessings, and the abundant provisions of God. Perhaps the rest of the band can come forward as I bring this to a close. I know I shout. I know I get excited. But I'm not shouting at you. I'm shouting with you. I'm shouting with you. And so as I finish, let me share this last thing. You see, despite Jesus' crazy command that night, that morning, and it was a crazy command, and despite Simon's hesitations, he puts into action that which Jesus asked him to do. He takes the step. He goes back out onto the water. He launches his net into the deep. And the Bible says that they brought in a catch so large that everyone there was astonished at what they saw. And it got me thinking this. And if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. I wonder if we replaced our hesitations with greater expectations, what would we see God do in our lives? I say it again, if we replaced our hesitations with greater expectations, what would we see God do in our lives? And so this week, and perhaps the band, we can get ready to go into a song. Can I challenge you to pray a big prayer? Pray a big prayer. Do something that requires both faith and action. Let's believe that God can do a miracle in your life in 2024 that doesn't only astonish you, but astonishes all those people that are connected to you. Remember who our God is. Remember that my God, our God, is a loving Father. He is not lacking. He is not limited. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the maker of all things. He is the Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the God who sees your prayers. He is the God who sees your tears. He is the God in the signs and wonders business. He is a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God that is for you. A God that loves you. A God that wants to walk with you. A God that goes before you. He is the God with whom nothing is too hard. So today, I hope you've been encouraged to give your life fully to Jesus. To give Him everything. To trust in His timing. To obey His word. To launch out into the deep and give that thing another go.